I think when you're a hooper, you always have a fictional, delusional.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking I'm making the NBA, but, like, I'm having a hard time playing varsity. So, like, yeah. the delusional, like, if you ask me, like, I'm sure I'm going to the league, it sounds good. But I, like, deeply in my heart, I really think, definitely not street ball. For sure, didn't think I belonged there.
Mm.
But then coming into it was, like, a perfect fit.
Welcome to the Basketball Forever podcast. This is where we talk about the things that we don't post. I'm head of editorial here, Nick Jungfer. Joining me as always, the founder, Alex Sumsky, and special guest, streetball legend, the professor. Mate, thanks for joining us.
Hey, humble man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, how's it been down here in this part of the world? You're in Sydney. You've just been in Melbourne. I saw you down there with Scottie Pippen at an NBL game. How was that and how's Australia been?
Oh, it was great. It was great. Australia is probably one of my more favorite countries that I've been to just in general. And then we caught it a great time with, like, perfect weather.
Yeah.
And all the summer jam events that we've done have been, like, really great, like, awesome. And did, like, my first, like, theater style interview in Melbourne, which was really dope. And so, this tour has been incredible. Like, I haven't been hooping. I'm just, like, hosting. But people have been great.
Why are you hooping at the moment?
I actually pulled my groin a couple days before I got down here, which wasn't ideal. But... Yeah. The original ask was more so on the hosting tip rather than the hooping tip.
Sure.
Even though personally I would have loved to have been hooping each stop. But it's been great, bro. Just absorbing the current basketball culture and going to that debut and seeing where the NBL's at.
Hmm.
And then they said we caught amazing weather. I'm thinking it's always like this, right? Because I always used to come here during the summer. So I always think it's nice weather.
Yeah.
But I guess we caught it at a perfect time. So it's been incredible.
Mm. You must watch, like, other pro leagues, teams outside the NBA. I mean, people have asked you all the time about what you think your standing would be in the NBA. But just looking like at pro leagues outside of that, like set that aside, you must have thought to yourself at times, oh, like me on a good day, like I would be, I could do some damage. I could do some damage on the right day.
Yeah, I want to know what happens you in your prime professor in the NBL.
Yeah, I know you're humble.
It's so theoretical because I never would have got the shot, right? Realistically, they wouldn't have gave me that shot.
Mm.
So it's very theoretical, but I know what I'll do. You know what's funny, though? Like, everybody asks me that. Like that's a common thing, but I think that's why my brand has hyper appeal for somebody not in the NBA, because people are like, why are you not? You're not in the league. Like, don't make no sense. Like, you know what I mean? Skill-wise, now my body, like, it'd be, like, defensively... It would be hard to put on a bunch of weight to, like, really compete defensively.
For sure.
Even though I'm a finesse player no matter what.
Yeah.
But that weight helps, right? You look at, like, J.J. Barea is, like, smaller, right? He's, like, my height. They're a little taller, right? But he's, like, a wrecking ball. So it helps, that weight. So I didn't have that. So that would have been hard, the NBA level. I'm not going to lie. But, I mean, I played NBA players couldn't guard me in a workout.
Oh, like who?
There you get it.
Yeah.
I don't try to, like,
dance.
Let's throw guys under, but I will say, like, I'm not like the last NBA workout that I played in, it was 2-on-2 full court, myself, all NBA players, and maybe it was one overseas player, but, like, I won the first two games. You know what I'm saying? Right. Wiped them down. Where's games to seven? We just full court 2-on-2. But that's cool because I like it because that debate talk, like, that's the reason I have a good brand, because that is actually true. The mass narrative of how good I am is actually probably less than the real. Which is good, right? Your live show can supersede what they might think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do sometimes like think, like, dang, it's a crime that people, because I even read in there, they'd be like, Professor wouldn't score a point in the NBL, not knowing, like, I wasn't even over impressed with the, like, I thought it was good, don't get me wrong, but, like, not score a point?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
See, that's a lot of open jumpers in an NBL game, right? Like, my last game playing at a D1, I played a CBA preseason game. In 2016, and I had 32.
Oh, okay.
So is the CBA in China comparable to the NBL? I'd say so. I'd say that's pretty similar, actually. The CBA might even be, they're more, a little bit more physical. I'm not sure.
I mean, there's a bunch of,
it's hard, like, to say,
they've
right?
got a lot more money
there's
as
a,
well.
There's a bunch of NBL players that will go over and play in the CBA and, you know, to get the extra bag. So, I mean.
So, it's hard to say. But anyway, I give this some thought sometimes. But I actually love it because people always underestimate me no matter what, but it's because I just don't look like a hooper, right? Like, I don't fit the look.
I saw you said in one of your videos, you're like, I'm not sure how many people would give me an opportunity or give me a chance or think I'm legit, especially the early days. I think you said something like, you know, I looked like I was 12 years old even when I was 18, 19,
the eye test like, goes a long way.
You're like shorter than a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And you're obviously in those, like watching those early And1 videos, watching them back this week, you're like one of the only white guys out there. So that perception.
Well, the only. There's only two in the entire genre.
Yeah.
Myself and White Chocolate. The street ball white chocolate. Yeah. Not J. Will.
Yeah.
Randy Gill. Shout out to Randy Gill.
It also must have taken some serious balls to pull up at that very first N1, the tryouts in Portland.
And what was that like?
You're undersized, you're white, you're baby-faced.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you get the even better reaction from when you start cooking people because of your appearance.
Yeah. And well, just to rewind to what you're saying, you're right. I would want to say for the audience too, the eye test goes a long way. So if you're not going to pass the eye test, you need to score 30. Don't get me wrong. I'll go off for 30 sometimes, but I'm not going to. Like some people are just beast, right? They're going for 30. They're just that lit. Like they go overseas and that's what they do. They get buckets, right? Yeah. So I was never that player. I wasn't a two guard. I was actually a point guard. But anyway, going to And1, you asked me, you said, hey, you got to be ballsy. I was actually just having fun. Like, I was a fan. I was actually just a fan, you know? Like, if you look at my senior year, I have my childhood mixtape.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-year-old upload on it.
Really?
It's actually a 15-year-old upload.
It's still there?
Yeah, my AAU high school mix on my channel.
That. I remember that one.
Yeah, so I'm wearing And1. By the time he's a senior year, I had the Tai Chi's on.
Yeah.
I'm culturing And1 as a fan. So, like, I went the year before And1 came, their first big tour, I actually played against them. So I made the game. I played against Sick with it. So I already had, I was like a superstar for a whole year in my hometown for just playing in the And1 game or whatever. So that next year when it came back up, I was excited about the open run, but also just excited as a fan, right? I'm just like, I can't wait to see Hot Sauce AO, Sick with it, Ali Mo main event. I can't wait to see him go crazy. So I go in the open run with nothing to lose, but then few moves in, they're going crazy. So I'm like, oh man, it's looking good. So Prime Objective, big shout out to Big Bro, Prime Objective. He was the one who actually discovered me. Anyway, next thing I know, I go in the building, going back and forth with Hot Sauce, one of my idols.
Yeah.
And I didn't do amazing that game, but it was enough to, you know, captivate the crowd, and nobody else from the crowd did anything. So, they asked me to go on tour, but I was just there as a fan. I just was pure gratitude. I could have got sent home anytime and it would have been amazing. You know what I'm saying?
So what's that like though? Like because on one hand, you're coming from like this actual basketball.
Yeah.
And you need to operate within a team framework and it's about winning.
Yeah.
How are you finding that balance between winning games and then focusing on sort of the showtime element of things, which is obviously such a staple of your identity and what you're doing on the court?
That was a super good question. So me being a fundamentals first, like street ball, I found out the And1 mixtape tour when I was a sophomore in high school. So I was old, but I was always a regular ball, like fundamentals first. Like, I mean, I practiced like Pistol Pete, right? Like you couldn't measure how much I practiced the game, right? Yeah. So the fans didn't know you actually need that. If you're not fundamentals first, you can't really compete in the And1 game. So when I got on the team, it actually took me a year or two to even find my stride. I remember like my first tour in Australia, I didn't play very good, right? I had like two highlights a game or something. Because I was trying to figure out how to, that pro level game is fast. Yeah. And then I only play in 10 minutes. And then like, I actually want to pass to my teammates when really I should just be getting the ball, trying to go crazy each time. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a whole different exploration into finding the balance between satisfying corporate, because like they want us to win and put on an insane show every time, and we don't, we're in trouble. I'm like, it's not even possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love it. That's been my whole career though, finding the balance.
That balance.
Yeah, finding the balance. Yeah. And I'm actually way more showtime now than I was in the And1 era, because I didn't understand the fan viewpoint fully.
Definitely.
And then also just a regular bus is how I played, right? And now we're trying to go viral every play.
Yeah. So when you have that moment where, because you obviously talked about when you pulled up, you know, your first game, and it's like you thinking to yourself, like, I'm just getting lucky. I can't believe this. It's probably like sort of a little bit surreal, but then it took you a little while to settle in as well. At what point did you have that sort of that breakthrough moment where you knew in your mind, you realized, hey, I'm not fluking this anymore. Like I can consistently deliver this, and I know that I can like compete with anyone now at this level. Like, when did you have that moment?
Yeah. So I wouldn't word it how you did. That's like ultra confident. I think that It was like tears to it. Like every time I play, I'm always confident in my game. Just as a hooper, right? You always like feel good about how you're going to do. But then, yeah, if you ask me off the court, like, is this something you're going to do consistently for a career?
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, I don't know about that. But then they had, I had this one battle with Hassel. It recently went viral. Somebody else posted it. But basically, Hassel came down. He shook me up like a stiff leg cross where I slipped and I touched earth. Like went down. I tried to recover. I almost recovered. But like he got it over my hand and hit this three. And like it was in Detroit.
Yeah.
They lost it. Like, I think even his manager, this dude, Mark Edwards, who later was my manager, he like picked him up. A whole bunch of people rushed. They ran on the court, picked him up.
Oh,
pandemonium. So I didn't even know what to do. Like, you know, I got the ball back like deer in the headlights. I don't even know what to do. Yeah. So I looked at the opposing coach. Rest in peace, dude, Mike Ellis. He just passed away like last week. It's wild.
Oh, shit.
Rest in peace, Mike Ellis.
Rest in peace.
I look over to him and he was like, man, go right back at him. You know what I'm saying? He was always like a little against hot sauce, so he couldn't wait for me to do move. He's like, bust his ass, go right back at him. I'm like, dang, bust his ass. I'm like, So I come back down and I blinked. This is how you know it was meant to be, though. It's one of those God moments. Like, I just blinked out. I did every move I could think of. I'm like even doing some of hot sauce moves back to him. Like I even did the air walk he used to do. And then like the last one, I did like a sham guard kind of like snatch, but I went and I snatched it, but it like crossed him. Like hot sauce, he like went for it. Oh. So then I drive the lane quick as I can. I throw it up. I got pushed from the back. I didn't even get to see it go in, but you could hear the, you know, the crowd roar. And they were like louder than when sauce crossed me. You know what I'm saying? It was like even a louder clap back. And I think in that game I had like 18 points or something like that, and so I started to get really confident and feel good. And so at that point I felt like maybe possibly this is something I could be known for, but I actually never thought I had a spot on that one. I didn't think it was such like a urban hip-hop thing from the streets that like I'm from the suburbs, so I didn't think I even belonged. I didn't think they would even put me on the team, right? Like it's just, I just didn't feel like I belonged. But then come to the end of the summer, now looking back on it, hindsight, it's like, well, duh. You know what I'm saying? Like, coming into it is like a perfect fit. But it's interesting, too, because I'm always compared to Eminem of basketball, right? That's like my whole life.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, his story, too, right? He's like rapping in Detroit, but don't have a big audience. Like, they're not accepting him for... You know what I mean? But then, like, sometimes you just got to be around, you got to get outside of your ecosystem. Sometimes you're received different elsewhere. Like in my home state, they made me feel like I didn't play the right kind of basketball. You know, like if I cross somebody over, it'd be like an insane crossover. I remember a crossover the varsity point guard. He went to the store, made a shot, got in trouble. It's like, we ain't doing that. You know, we
got in trouble for cooking someone. Like,
but it was like not. Yeah. They felt like a showing off, right?
Yeah.
Crossover isn't like to them. It was just culture. It was like that's something else. So they really made me think like I'm really thinking like, yeah, that's not how real hoopers think, right? So it's more like formalities, how you win championships and all that. It's like very Hoosiers mindset.
What's the most disrespectful play that springs to mind that you've made, and also what's the most disrespectful move that someone's tried to pull on you, whether it's successful or unsuccessful?
Surely you become a target, right? Like someone's got to be.
That's the hard part about having notoriety. People have no idea, like they want to be a popular hooper. They don't understand, like, your life would be hard going to play pickup because for everybody, it's a career game.
Yeah.
So now you got to go 10 times harder than you. You got to be just as desperate as they are to go crazy every time you play. You know what I mean? So that's that target.
Yeah.
That's hard, right? For me, it's harder. So the most disrespectful move I ever did, probably broke the dude's shoulder. My biggest video on YouTube, I crossed the dude, popped his shoulder out of the socket.
I was going to ask about that.
That's next level.
And I knew what happened because shout out to my teammate Arab there. He always threw his shoulder out. And so I knew when you do that five or six times, it goes out on weird stuff.
Yeah.
So two plays before that, I crossed him over. He like slapped the ground, like a no contact ankle breaker.
Yeah.
Slapped the ground like that. And I think it like did something to the shoulder.
Yeah.
So three or four plays later, up fake tween snatch, he reached and it goes woo, and it fell out. But we were in a heated moment, so I was like, look at this dude. Broke his shoulder.
Right. Yeah, because you see ankle and breakers. And then I went to the lane,
still kept going because he was talking so much.
That's something you see ankle breakers a lot. You don't see the shoulder breakers
as much. Like
it was a rare, we couldn't have wrote a better script though. Like it's a real vid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. The thumbnail was fucking crazy.
Yeah, it looks fake. Yeah. It's funny. That video taught me a lot about YouTube though. That video.
Yeah. I was gonna say we're talking about content creation from a thumbnail standpoint. The shoulder socket, shoulder break is pretty up there.
It's funny too. That video right there, I always tell people that taught me how to do YouTube on accident. That's how I think it's meant to be. It was like a God purpose thing. Mm-hmm. Like basically we were doing videos where I just show myself hoop. I never did no lifestyle or nothing. Just like I'm trying to emulate And1 mixtape on YouTube, basically. Mm-hmm. So I did Spider-Man basketball and I got 1 million subs in a week. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that one like took it off. But then even from there, right, like the cosplay would go off, and then like my basketball videos did way better than they did before because of a bigger following. But to really break the internet, there's so much more that goes into it, right? Like you need stories. It's storytelling.
Big time.
You know what I mean? So like people at the YouTube amateur level, you don't even think like a TV network. Like a TV network, obviously you're storytelling. That's what entertainment is. It's story. So if you ain't storytelling, you can only do so good. For the most part, unless a highlight compilation, like that could still go off. But
you need something that sets you apart, something a little bit different. Yeah, and obviously no one had seen anything like the Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the Spider-Man videos, was that really what helped get you, I guess, mainstream from a casuals perspective? Mm-hmm. Like that was the tipping point or the inflection point for the YouTube, for Facebook, for everything for you? Or...
So it definitely made my digital platforms take all of them. Yeah, the trickle down on all of them was from that one video.
Was there any examples? Yeah. Every time I watch these videos, I'm always like, you know, they always go according to plan in the context of the video. You know, the shoulder guy. You did the one where you went to prison and played there.
Yeah.
There's a few. I want to know, are there examples where things don't go well, like where you've gotten school accidentally, you've messed up. There was a shot where you were like really hyping it and then you missed the shot. Cause it's like Harlem Globetrotter-esque for you as from a viewer's perspective when we're watching, but what are some times where it just didn't go great at all?
Of course. Yeah. Well, I have misses all the time where I do a move and miss it. That's all over the channel.
For
the most part, because we show a lot of just like raw games. Mm. As far as the losses, though, you know what's funny? There's only like one loss that I didn't upload. Like, I have like five or six losses on there.
Yeah.
They're within there, but we always try to like run it back. But also, we're playing all levels of comp. So, like, if I lose, usually I can regain and win. So, I try to make it a good watch no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, my YouTube, I only lost like five times ever. but then again though, we're not always playing pros, right? If I'm playing people like Roscoe in and out, we're gonna catch a lot of some L's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but yeah, like so one dude I didn't upload one time I didn't upload it, I went to San Jose and it just wasn't a good vid. There was nothing, because you could like lose and get defeated and then it's just not a good walk. Like there's nothing to it, right? Like why? Who cares? I'm not going according to their narrative. It's our narrative. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah.
So I'm if you see it's going to be a movie. It's a superhero movie.
And when you're, you know, pulling out all your moves, there must have been times. I've seen one video where it really annoyed this guy. It's like this 6'5", 6'6" guy in China.
Oh, they get
he tries to like fight you pretty much.
That's the CBA game. That's what I was telling you.
That was does that happen a lot where people get so mad? You know, you bounce it off their head or whatever.
Oh.
And then they get so mad they kind of want to not fight, but kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So 30% of the time, maybe.
30. That's a
30%
huge
percent of the time.
Maybe 15. Maybe I'm exaggerating. I don't know. I always show a lot of love to people and then they know there's three cameras and a couple security guards. Yeah. Like we're running real production actually when we play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the ball's real, but they kind of like, if they decide to play, kind of know what they're getting into.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, you always get the game 7 NBA finals hoopers or whatever. And that dude, it was different with him. He don't even know what street ball is. He never heard of And1. He don't know me or nothing.
He would have been shook seeing
what
you were doing.
He's only 22.
Can you imagine? You're unfamiliar with street ball and then suddenly face to face. With the professor, God. And you're like, holy hell, what's happening?
Yeah.
He would have been.
Well, like, what happened too was actually we're scoring a lot. So the crowd momentum started to go on our side because that's just a preseason game in the CBA, but we made it street ball.
Yeah.
Which I freaking love because it's so disruptive. Mm. It's like so lit.
That's hilarious.
So what happened was I hit a few like open jumpers and then I did like an in and out behind the back. He slipped. He actually slipped, touched her, hit a shot. So then two or three plays later, the crowd's all on our side. It's the perfect time to go crazy. So I tried to go like off the heezy out of a triple threat. I was gonna go heezy to the leg because I knew he's gonna freak out and then go between the legs.
Yeah.
But like when I go off the heezy, he moved his head. So it hit the side of his head, and then like I fumbled it trying to get it back.
Oh,
and then it was just gross. And so he thought, I think he thought just some form of disrespect.
Yeah.
So
that's why. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And so I tried to apologize him, but he didn't speak English anyway, and he wasn't even trying to shake our hand or anything. So his coach,
what a nightmare,
knew he was pissed. So he just left him on the bench the whole second half, never even played.
Yeah, that's tough. You've got the language barrier, the street ball barrier. Are you unfamiliar with street ball? I wanted to ask you about a couple of NBA players. Kyrie's a big fan of yours, right? Because the age gap as well, like he would have been young when you're doing your thing in the prime. And one days, has Kyrie reached out or have you just heard that he's a fan?
Well, he followed me ever since for like, you know, a decade before he was in the NBA and stuff. And then we shook hands and took a photo in 2016. It was like so fast. It was chaos, you know, an appearance of a bunch of NBA players, celebrities. Mm. But then we met this year.
Really?
We actually spoke. This had a convo for the first time this year. And so, yeah, he said he was a fan for a long time. I don't know about big fan, but like, you know, fan of And1, supporting for a long time. He still follows me online or whatever. So it was cool. We had a great convo. Yeah.
That's cool. He definitely plays like a guy who grew up on, you know, And1, VHS tapes.
I was just thinking.
I know. We'll break the internet. I put a collab. Kyrie, man, we got a collab, bro. It's good. Kyrie, man, that 2v2 event is to break the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine the professor and the Kyrie, that being the YouTube title?
Do you not reckon that they should be doing like a one-on-one type format at All-Star Weekend?
Oh, it'd be awesome. There's too many egos at stake. Too much branding.
Is that what you reckon?
They won't do it. Yeah, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm not willing to do a high-profile one-on-one for the stream for a big purse either, because it does sway your brand and your legacy in certain regards, right? So like,
but does it not sway their brands and their legacy when, like,
period?
If you go out there and
It's just more.
I know. I guess they see it as an unnecessary one. But you could argue, well, it's bad for your brand. By going in the finals, you might get swept, but they go in it. But I guess they have to.
Yeah.
This is an extra one.
That's the cool part, because I think like you shouldn't, like I don't blame like, okay, All-Star Weekend, the big purse, right? It'd be bigger than Mayweather versus Pacquiao if you did Kyrie versus Steph one-on-one All-Star Weekend, a boxing style matchup. Because they did it with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Dr. J back in the day, but they were also retired for like 5-10 years.
Mm. Yeah.
They're outside of their career.
Different.
And they weren't one-on-one players. The ugliest game I've ever seen. I can't believe how unskilled both are, but it's a different tie, right?
Yeah.
You see a game? You seen that?
Yeah. I've seen a clip.
You seen it?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
I was like, dang, Dr. J didn't have one move. This is crazy. But you got to think, basketball is a different place. Like, even the point guards the way we look at the game, we're taking it for granted. It's come a long way, right? Like, we'd be disappointed in Pistol Pete's packet today.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean if he wasn't brought in this era, it'd be insane.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Obviously, his mind. So, anyway, that would sell more. What would do more? Mayweather, Pacquiao, or like Kyrie, Steph, or LeBron, KD?
Yeah.
1v1. They probably do more than boxing, like real talk. But the NBA ain't going to allow it, number one. They don't even allow it because unless they were setting it up. But also, like, the players don't want to do that either.
So I wanted to ask you about Kyrie. I wanted to ask you about another NBA player. You've got in the gym. You've been in the gym with NBA players before. Can you help Jaylen Brown with his handle?
Oh, could I, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Can you please? I'm asking.
Oh,
that's someone you do need to reach out to.
I don't even like training. That's the funny thing. I actually don't love training. I'm actually good at it, but I don't really enjoy it. I don't like training.
Yeah.
I'm more of an entertainer than a hooper. Mm. Like I was even talking to Ross. I was talking to Roscoe, right? Like a homie right here. He's like in it, the trenches daily. And I take myself back 10 years. And I was like, that's what I was. I actually love the sweat of practice and training and building. But since YouTube started, I realized like a new love for me is like video production and editing. You know what I mean? Even though I love both, don't get me wrong. I'm still most in my element when I'm hooping. So when it comes to training, I'm like, it's too utility. I'm the showbiz. I'm trying to like break the, you know what I'm saying?
You become a media guy.
And you've become like a movie guy. You've got movies
acting
under your belt now.
I like acting and video production way more than the utility and hard sweat of hooping.
Mm.
Just because, and it's just more doable, right? The utility, the hard sweat of training and hooping, it's like so hard on the body. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
But yes, with Jaylen Brown, we could do a few sessions. I'll do two or three. You never know. It's like NBA players ask me to, like Andre Drummond asked me to train him for the year, like be the handle trainer. Nah. I told him I'd get a few sessions. He didn't respond. I don't think he liked my response. He didn't respond. Yeah. I was like, I'd get a couple sessions in.
I'll show you how to make a YouTube video.
I'd be more privy on that. But big shout out to Andre Drummond too, dude. I think he's an awesome talent. I think I would have liked to get a few sessions in. It's just that like I pay my bills by going all in and being ultra spread thin. Mm. So my training is like, we got to make a vid. Can we film it?
Yeah.
I'll come if we can film it.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't film it? Ah. All right, we'll do one. Maybe.
So on the like entertainment side of things, because obviously that's like the focus for you. That's what you're passionate about. You've got now.
Yeah.
You did semi-pro, right?
Oh yeah, it was great. Loved it.
What was it like? Do you think going into that you were going into like a serious basketball movie?
Yeah, totally. Cause like I was what's called a premium extra. Like you're on screen a lot, but you don't have a line. Mm-hmm. Every hooper in LA who's doing any acting or just hoopers in general were at this audition. It was like a couple thousand people. Like a lot of my good friends were there too. Like everybody was trying to be in this. Mm.
When did you realize that it wasn't serious?
When did I realize it was a comedy?
Was it not like
I think
to watch? It's so funny to imagine
going to the set. So a premium. So sorry, I didn't finish. When you're a premium extra, obviously you don't get the script, right? Because extras, I don't care about you. You're not getting a script. You're just to like fill a spot on the screen. Mm. I'm basically filling a jersey on the opposing team.
Yeah.
So I never read the script, but when I got there on set, I started to see how goofy, like, because they're saying lines as we're hooping. I'm like, oh, okay, it's a spoof. It's a spoof comedy about, and then like some of the mainstream actors, I talked to Andre 3000 and some of the guys who were on it. No, I talked to Will. We had a good Will Ferrell the first day. He's like, are you the professor? I was like, yeah. he was like, man, I love that show.
You are mainstream.
Yeah.
That's mainstream.
No.
That's big time.
I'm known by those people who are mainstream. It doesn't mean actually mainstream.
Yeah, okay.
And Mark Wahlberg is mainstream.
What was Will Ferrell like just to be around off camera?
Awesome. Great. Like super cool. And he doesn't like force comedy. He's more chill. Mm-hmm. He's just funny being himself though, kind of. But the first day he was just cool. He barely said anything. We had like a practice with the premium extras and the main team. And I think because they want to just get us at least like playing ball, at least you don't have to play that great to make them believe it on screen, right? So it's actually really dope. I found, it's funny, I'm making this YouTube video.
Yeah.
I'm actually about to make this YouTube video, my secret role in a Will Ferrell movie, because like nobody knows, right?
Yeah.
But I found a DVD from 08. They made a deluxe version and it had like 8 minutes of the making of the movie and I was like all over it. And I gave an interview that day.
Oh,
during the making with my wig on and all that, I gave an interview.
That's
such a good find.
Yeah.
I was like, this has to be a vid, so we're gonna make that vid.
Yeah,
but nice. No, it was great. Like Woody like loves basketball, and so does Will from like a fan casual standpoint. So I actually played Woody one on one in front of everybody. It was like really. Yeah, it was fun.
Can you describe in great detail?
Elaborate on
details.
That line.
That's some.
I would say. I would just say. I mean, he's not a hooper, right? So, yeah. It was Cookville. You know what I'm saying? But but listen, it don't even matter. Woody was like awesome, and I even got to interview him this year on a YouTube collab.
Wow!
Like we promote his movie Champions, and we talked all about semi-pro. And so when he got there, Professor, oh my gosh, I didn't even like, you didn't even know who he was about to see today.
Oh, that's so mad.
He's like, bro, your hand. And he was like, they were like, don't bring up old movies, we only want to promote Champions. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, first line of the video, man, semi-pro years ago, man, that was incredible. Man, we got to hoop, boom boom boom. It was like so fun. It was like the funnest thing ever. And then we get done, he's like, can't we hoop? I was like, of course we can hoop, are you kidding me? So I had to play against my homie DZ. He's like in all my, lifelong friend. Like he's guarding me. We had to make a fun, silly game, which you would have loved to go crazy on that vid, right? So it's me and Woody versus my manager and Air DZ. He's like in tons of my vids. So we couldn't really like go too crazy, right? It was like the game was like for Woody and it was super fun. Mm.
What was it like then? So obviously coming back to your semi-pro days, and then you had that
that realization, what was the thinking going into Hustle? Because that had Adam Sandler. Were you thinking, now I'm not going to get conned this time. This will be a comedy. It's Adam Sandler. He's not doing a serious movie. And then it turns out that it was a serious one.
Oh, this one was totally different. Like, so that one, I went to an open casting. Mark Ellis don't even know me. I just happened to make it.
Okay.
And then big shout out to my ex-manager, still my friend now. His name's Mark Edwards. He actually politicked and got me in the door there.
Nice.
So it was an open tryout, but they were like, hey, man, this dude got skill. He's like, and one, this will be good for you guys as a premium extra because he's known.
Yeah.
So that had a lot to do with why I got that role. Gotcha. But with Adam, wasn't even corporate, wasn't no audition. We had a mutual friend. Big shout out to Joe Vesey. Joe is like a comedian actor. He worked with Adam for like 10 years now or something.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, Adam's a big fan of yours. He wants to call you today. This is during COVID. So, like, when he said that, I'm like, Adam? Adam who? He's like, Adam Sandler. I'm like, the Adam Sandler? He's like, yeah. So I look at the dude's bio. He's worked for Happy Madison. I think he mentioned that years ago. I just didn't think. I was like, you work for Adam? You never know if people are serious or not. So he's like, yeah, can he call you at 2 p.m.? Or what? I was like, yeah, duh. Like, here's our number. I'm thinking assistant's going to call me or something, like a three-way.
Yeah.
Like more politics. Yeah. But it wasn't.
It was him?
Like the caller ID said Adam Sandler. Picked it up. We talked for an hour, 30 minutes, something like that. It was like Joe told me, he's like, I never seen anybody get that long of a call. Wow. But he was great. He was just saying, like, he's a huge fan. He's like, I've seen all your YouTube vids. He's like, we need to do one. We need to do a collab. I want to be on there. It's awesome. And he's
when's
like,
when's that happening?
Probably never. But.
I'd be pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he wanted to. He got his hip. So what happened is?
Oh yeah.
He got. We were gonna do it. He thought he pulled a muscle, but turned out he needed a hip replacement. But he actually hoops still after the hip replacement. He just says he's like 50%. Anyway, we had a long convo. He wouldn't even let me say he's awesome. Like, he just tried to tell me how awesome my YouTube is. I'm like, yeah, like, thank you. But, like, okay, can we, I was a lifelong fan of yours. I appreciate it, bro. I can't believe we're on the phone.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, buddy, you know. But then there's the call segue. He's like, I also got this movie I'm doing in a year. This is a basketball movie, Hustle. We'd love to have you a part of it somehow, some way, anyway. I'll write you a role. We'll figure it out. Boom, boom, boom. And I just thought, like, he's being nice, you know, maybe. So then, like a year later, call me. Man, we got
that's
it.
The dream.
Yeah, so that was different. That was way more in-house, way more like the lead role was invested. Not that Will Ferrell wasn't really, really cool.
Yeah, of course.
But they're similar, actually. They're both like icons, but also super nice and super down to earth.
Did you get to know any of the players on set for that film? Like the
for
NBA?
Hustle?
Yeah.
NBA yeah, film? Yeah. The main character was really dope. I went to his game to promote Hustle. We did a campaign on the side where I sat courtside at the Utah Jazz versus Lakers and came over and said what up. Then at the after party, the premiere, we hung out a little bit. So, yeah, that dude's cool. Not necessarily like we're hitting each other regularly. Yeah. I actually made more friends with Adam, though. Like, literally, I text Adam and hit me back. Like, he's super cool.
Man, I take that.
That's so, unreal.
Yeah. And he's a hooping icon now.
Yeah, in his own way. Yeah. In his own way.
Yeah.
But I think people embrace it because he's like humble, right? He's not out there like saying he's amazing, like just more real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a slight subject change, but we talked before about All-Star Weekend and a one-on-one would really spice things up, even though there's probably some issues to actually.
Oh, dude. I mean, that's that fan fantasy. That's that.
Exactly.
Thing, right?
The fantasy versus what the actual people involved would be willing to do.
Yeah.
But here's something that I'm sure these guys would be willing to do, at least from one side of this. What do you think of like getting the dunk contest back on track by bringing in some professional dunkers from more so the streetball world? They do that one thing exceptionally well. Instead of getting these NBA guys who are great players to also dunk, get these guys who are pure dunkers, even if you throw one in there, it's like cat amongst the pigeons.
Oh, it'd be insane. I was part of the promotion of the dunk contest this year. I met everybody on the inside and we had long convos about that. So it's already been brought up. Like the two guys that run it, they wanted to open it up. They wanted to do where like either it's the street ball do the contest and the league and the finalists face off, or each NBA player picks a street ball guy. They wanted some format to involve them.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious, right? Like the street ball hoopers doing it would go, that's all they do. Like they're amazing at it, right?
So is this why we got Mac McClung? Because it's like he's in the league but he's also,
he's big time.
But he's also really a big time dunker.
It was actually really complex talking to them. like how they viewed it and everything. So basically they had more of a fan fantasy viewpoint too, right? They vied for all of it because these two like hoop diehards are super cool, these guys. These two guys. And they wanted Mac because the dunk contest was going to be whack. And the NBA didn't want Mac. The Players Association said, dude ain't in the league. It's whack. He shouldn't be in it. He doesn't deserve it.
So many fans said that. I didn't get it.
Because they're carrying...
They're not saying the types?
Listen, basketball is the most egotistical sport. It's very elitist viewpoint. Like I know, like especially when it comes to pro hoopers, like they'll call somebody that's a good player and a pro-am a bum, right? Because he didn't make the regular season. Like like Mike McClung's a bum to whoever's making that call, right?
Yeah.
When Mike McClung's actually good, like he's made a run. He's on the Magic right now. You know what I'm saying?
But the other thing is, do we
care?
Yeah, like dude's actually really good, but also I think they don't know him either. They don't know he dropped 30 a game. That's not like a mainstream narrative. That was like a you got to be niche-y. I knew it because I was trying to do a collab with Mac. We played the Defenders, and then we did it for the dunk contest promo.
Yeah,
but it wasn't the collab they wanted. Whatever. So anyway, we talked about it all, and they basically were just saying that the NBA Players Association won't let those guys in, but they will. I think they will eventually. I think they will. But yes, Mac was the closest they could get to a pro dunker because he could do those team flight brother, those street ball and one style dunks as a hooper. And at least it gives him somewhat of an underdog in a story. Cause there was nothing. That's why I put him on the Sixers though. You notice he's on the Sixers for a week. So he could be in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
It was just a BS, like throw him in there. So we don't look bad for the G League when really like nobody cares. Like
no one cares.
People just want to see good dunks.
Yeah. They think that should be the highest platform for the best in the world, which I actually respect in a lot of ways, but I do think the dunk contest is different. I think they should open it up for the street ball guys, but it is hard because look, if you let those guys be a part of it and then they get mainstream notoriety, then another company can do another one with them too. So it's almost like they need to exclusive them.
Yeah.
But then it's like, are they going to sign the exclusive? It's tricky, right? Because they don't want to boost a bunch of dudes up and make them more mainstream, and then they go do it somewhere else and do it better. And now the NBA has a competition for the dunk contest.
Mm. It's like what we're talking about. Everyone trying to keep it in the family.
Yeah, they're thinking about 5 years down the line. Yeah. So it's that. And it's they don't deserve it because they're not.
I gotcha.
They can't compete on this level. They don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Mark Cuban actually tried to sign Kenny Dobbs to a 10-day for the Mavericks a few years back. I think it was like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, but he broke his leg and it didn't work out.
Wow.
I love that he tried to do that though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think there's been a couple of examples where, I mean, I know you said the one-on-one at the All-Star Weekend, probably people wouldn't opt in. There's a bunch of stuff that we could be doing.
Yeah, it'd be like, it almost wouldn't be worth it, right? No. Like, none of the top-tier All-Stars can do it. If there is, like, one, but, like, it's not worth it. You know what I mean?
The risk-reward there is just, it's just not there, really.
Yeah. KG's dope, though. KG's like, we need that one-on-one as a part of it. He's like, the prize got to be $20 million. Throw up $20, $30
million. Oh.
Then I think you'd get a mix. You still wouldn't get top, but you get some guys, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get starters.
These guys are so afraid of losing one of these contests, but you think about anyone who's lost a dunk contest, a three-point contest, it didn't, like, soil their legacy. It didn't really
matter that much. It actually doesn't. That's the thing. That's what sucks about the dunk contest. You can't get the superstars or the guys who would be really good at it.
Mm.
But it's also the teams are shutting it down. Like, the Pelicans wouldn't let Zion be in the dunk contest when he wanted to.
Really? Yeah.
That's what they told us.
Damn.
They're like, we tried to get everybody. You can't name a name we didn't try to get in that thing. And they were right. Like, they tried to get all Ja Morant.
And this is why the teams
are shutting it down, too. Well, the teams are ran by G. Like, people don't know, but they're like, he'll get hurt. It's like, you ain't getting hurt in a dunk. Like, you by yourself in a gym.
It's like you're warming. It's like a warm-up.
Like, you could maybe drink a soda beforehand, didn't stretch. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're not going to get hurt. Like,
But anyway, we should wrap this up. We've already gone for longer than I was expecting.
Yeah.
When it's good, it goes long.
That's right. It is. It's a good sign. Yeah. We really appreciated your time, mate. So thanks so much, dude. Joining us.
Congrats to you guys on the media company.
And glad that we could all come together here now. And now we're all mainstream together, hopefully.
Mainstream, baby.
Way to tie it
in. Hey, look out, TMZ, man. We're coming up, man.
Yeah, yeah. So... I encourage everyone watching and listening this, by the way, go back and watch all those N1 tapes, as well as
I mean,
the Professor YouTube channel. There is so much good content there. I was going back down the and One Memory Lane before this interview.
We'll tag
Highly recommend that.
We'll tag it.
We'll tag you. We'll tie it all in together. Let us know your favorite sort of memories from back in the day and also recent professor content, and join us again next week.